This is Sporting Max with Max Becker on SEN.
Yes, that's right. Welcome back to another episode of Sporting Max, brought to you by Bastion GRP. For all your specialist needs in recruiting, engineering, and defence, go to bastiongrp.com. Joining me on the show today, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix star, Big Sauce, Alan Williams. Sauce, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, Max. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on with you.
Now, Sauce, I want to talk about, obviously, massive throwdown coming up this weekend. Have you got an update, obviously, on your injury, knee injury for us?
Yeah, progressing well. Just had the small scope procedure done about 10 days ago now. And so should be cleared to go and play in about 3 weeks. So, yeah.
If postseason comes around, playing be right for them?
Man, I'm all in. If we find a way to get into this finals, I'm all in for my guys, and I should be ready to go for that.
How have you viewed, I guess, this opportunity for guys like Owen Foxwell and Aussie Rapp, or someone like Luke Rosendale, or even like Cody Statman, who's made the most of this opportunity to go out and get buckets?
Yeah, I mean, always injuries obviously always aren't the best thing in the world, but like you said, it created some opportunities for some guys that haven't really seen the floor much, young guys that were looking to develop within the club. And so I just think it's awesome to be able to go out there and see them progress and continue to improve like they have all season. So I'm looking forward to seeing more time from the young guys, Anzac Rosetta, Owen Foxwell, and all the guys you mentioned, and just letting them get their opportunity to go out there and do their thing.
What have you made of someone like Cody Statman, who's been phenomenal, I guess, over the last few games at the SBC?
Yeah, no, Statty's been great. I mean, there's no surprise from our side, because we get a chance to see him work out and train every day, and we know how talented and how skilled he really is. But to be able to put that onto the floor in an NBL game is just huge for him, his confidence, and obviously the progression of our team moving forward. So.
Absolutely. Now, I want to get into, I guess, a bit about your journey, Sauce, and your career. Can you talk us through, I guess, a bit about your childhood and what growing up, I guess, was like for you?
Yeah. Grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, back in the U.S., and played a lot of sports as a kid. Did American football, soccer, baseball, basketball, and then settled upon basketball, I'd say around maybe 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And that was really what I focused on. Two great parents that were very supportive throughout the whole thing, and then a younger brother as well that I grew up with and played all the sports with. And so just a mixture of doing everything and trying everything out so that I can figure out what I like. And I stumbled upon basketball, like I said, and I've been doing it ever since.
How'd you make that decision to choose and decide between football and basketball?
For real, it was the heat. Phoenix, Arizona is a really hot place.
Yeah.
And being in all those pads and stuff like that and during that heat was not a fun thing. Obviously, I think I was better at basketball. I'm not sure. I was pretty good. I felt like I was pretty good at both. But yeah, that heat came to a thing, and getting to play inside was a big thing for me.
Absolutely. Can you talk us through, I guess, really your first opportunity and playing at North High School?
Yeah, I was one of those guys that didn't necessarily just start on the top team. We call it varsity. In the States when I was a freshman, when I was year nine. Now I played for the year nine team, which is the freshman team. I played junior varsity, which is the one above that. And then towards the end of the year during the playoffs, I got into the varsity squad, and that's where I stayed for the rest of my high school career. But it was really humbling. I got to learn a lot. Obviously, you go from grade eight and grade seven being the dominant force, and then you get to high school and you realize that these guys are a lot bigger and stronger. But getting to go against the upperclassmen at a young age really helped me out a lot with the physicality and understanding and finding my niche in basketball.
I guess, can you talk us through, have you always been the sort of same player as you are now?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm continuing to improve as I keep growing and keep learning more things with different places that I go. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily the same. I think I do some things better now than I did back then. Yeah. But I definitely have the same kind of mold. I've always been a big man. I've always been strong with good touch and good hands. And so those are the things I really try to focus on, is finding myself in positions so I can get my shot off, use my touch to my advantage, as well as my frame and size to be an elite level rebounder. And so that's kind of what I hang my hat on.
Can you talk us through, obviously, your development through high school? I mean, coming in, you mentioned as a freshman, you were averaging, you played that one game and had 3.5 points, I mean, as a sophomore. And then to go through to your senior year, yeah, we're averaging 22 points, and I think it was 10 points too. 10 boards.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just continued to grow. Like I said, I was around a lot of talent in high school and won two state championships my sophomore year and junior year back to back. And like I said, those guys that were ahead of me and older than me really helped to teach me the way to continue to grow. I just got better, you know. I just put the work in and tried to find ways that I could have an advantage and just stick to those things. And so I think that big jump came with more opportunity. All those upperclassmen were gone, and I was the big man on campus, and so it was my show. And just like I said, having that opportunity along with that work ethic and those skills really helped me to get those kind of numbers in high school.
Can you talk us through the college experience?
Yeah, I loved it. My favorite 4 years of my life so far just was in college. I went to UC Santa Barbara, which is the University of California in Santa Barbara, which is about an hour and a half north of Los Angeles, California. Yeah. And it's like put right on the beach. And so it was this beautiful beach town coming from a desert city in Phoenix, where I was born and raised. And just that experience was amazing, getting away from home and truly finding myself and who I wanted to be as an adult. And I'll never forget the experiences that I had there.
Absolutely. Can you talk us through, I mean, as a junior in 2013-14, you were big West Conference Player of the Year. Can you talk us through, I guess, that season and year for yourself?
Yeah, that's when I really found that I could possibly do this professionally, was that season. Just things were clicking. Like I said, I was in the weight room. I was in good shape. I had found out how to play a grown man's game. And I just, like I said, I used that to my advantage. I found my spots so I could score the ball offensively. I put myself in good positions defensively so I could block shots. And then as far as the rebounds go, that was always my natural calling. So I just found ways to get my hand on the basketball and I grabbed some boards.
What was the major focus of sort of development through your college years?
It's always just been about the physicality of it, staying in shape, pushing and making sure that you're at the highest level of conditioning that you possibly could be. And that's something I'm always still striving to be, because you want to play this game as long as you possibly can. And the guys that are in the best shape are the ones that are able to do that. And so that was my focus back then. That's what really changed for me, I'd say, after freshman to junior year in college. And that's still what I'm working on and trying to fine tune as I get older in life.
You led the NCAA in rebounding as both a junior and a senior. And you mentioned before, obviously, the rebounding side and component has always sort of been natural for you. Was it getting the ball in the hole and, I guess, in transition, that was kind of a major development point for you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, rebounding comes naturally. So I always kind of kept my eye on the standings on where I was at. And even now I try to be the leading rebounder everywhere I go. And yeah, it's something that my dad instilled in me at a really young age. He said, if you average a double-double, you'll play basketball for a really long time. And the points thing kind of comes easy. I'm around the basket a lot. I get a lot of opportunities to use my size and like I said, get those baskets around the court and stuff like that. But I think for me, the rebounds is really what I try to go after and set that tone early so that I can always try to average those double-digit rebounds.
Can you talk us through going over to the 2015 NBA Summer League and, I guess, starting for Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte was tough. It was a place where I thought I was going to go and get an opportunity to play heavy minutes, and that wasn't the case. And so we were in Orlando, and my agent called me and said there's an opportunity for in Vegas with the Houston Rockets. I think you're going to play more, but we're kind of rolling the dice. You want to do it? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. Let's go to a place where they want me to play, and they have some minutes available for me. And so I took the leap and packed my bags, left Orlando, where Summer League was being held during that period of time, and headed out to Houston, Texas to practice once with the Rockets. And then we took off to Vegas. And I guess you said the rest is history. I had a really good Summer League that first year. I think I was second team all Summer League and did some cool things and set myself up really well for my career by making that leap.
Can you talk us through, and you mentioned that move before from Charlotte over to Houston. Can you talk us through that first training rocking up in Texas for the Houston Rockets?
Yeah, I was kind of tired. I didn't really know what to expect. I had a pre-draft workout with Houston that same offseason, that same summer. And so I was pretty familiar with the coaching staff and who will possibly be around. And so I just kind of went in there and had my mentality of just being myself and being dominant defensively and rebounding the basketball at a really high level and then let the offense come my way. And yeah, just kind of things kind of just fell into place. They had drafted Montrezl Harrell with the 32nd pick, but he was in contract negotiations. Mm-hmm. And then they had another five-man, Clint Capella, who wasn't going to play due to some injury that he was having. And so I was really the only five-man, myself and Christian Wood, that had an opportunity to go out there and play. And so they started me. And J.B. Bickerstaff was the head coach, who's the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers now, started me. And, just let me rock, and I was able to do my thing.
How much confidence did that give you, obviously, someone having that kind of faith in you?
That was big time. You know, Coach Bickerstaff did a lot for me professionally in that sense of just giving me that first crack and opportunity to really show what I could do on the professional stage. And so something I've carried with me always is like, yeah, I know I belong here. You know, I know I can play here. I can play anywhere in the world because I know how to get to my spots and do the things that I need to do. And so major shout out to Coach Bickerstaff for that.
You played over in China in the Qingdao Double Star Eagles over there with them. Can you talk us through, I guess, the major difference you notice, obviously, between U.S. and Australian basketball compared to China?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just you're playing against grown men. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was huge, leaving college and kind of the safety of being in a state right next to my home state and family close and to leave all of that comfort and go to a place that's a lot different than the United States of America was a tough struggle and something I had to get adjusted to, but I figured it out, you know, and it definitely helped me throughout my life to really understand that I'm okay being by myself if I need to at times, and I am cool playing basketball anywhere in the world and understanding that it's a job and I'm willing to go wherever somebody wants me to play.
Can you talk us through the opportunity? Obviously, you earned and that arose with the Phoenix Suns on a 10-day contract in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came back from China early 2016, and we're just kind of trying to figure out what the next move was, whether it was going to be to go back there and play again or whether it was to continue my career somewhere else. And I had an opportunity to try out workout for the Phoenix Suns, my hometown team. And I took advantage of that and didn't have a great first workout. Earl Watson kind of stopped, the head coach at the time, stopped my workout midway and was like, hey, man, we understand you just got back from China. We want you to come back in a week, get in better shape and really show us what you can do. And so that second chance led to me going back and having a really good workout and then finally getting that 10-day opportunity with the Phoenix Suns. And I was ecstatic. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was beside myself just with a lot of joy and pride that I get the chance to suit up for my hometown squad.
Can you talk through the week between that first and second workout?
It was grind. It was just like myself and my trainer, Dustin Gray, who I still work out with to this day. We were just in the gym and getting shots that would be NBA-type shots because it's a different game from China to the NBA. I would be playing less of a role. I wouldn't be the star on the team. I'd be a complimentary player to the guys that they had at the time. And so I just had to find ways to play out of the dunker and get to my floater in the middle of the key and just work on that. And on top of that, a lot of sprints. Like, we did a lot of wind sprints to get my conditioning back to a level that it needed to be at to be an NBA player. And like I said, I was able to do that in a week and head back over there and had a really good workout.
Can you talk us through, obviously, your NBA debut and what you remember of that experience for yourself?
I don't remember it. You gotta like, fresh my memory. I think it was against the Utah Jazz.
Yeah,
I think it was against the Utah Jazz. I got in. I played a couple of minutes. I don't remember my stats or anything like that, but I just remember my mind moving at like a million miles an hour just because it was just excitement mixed with nervousness mixed with like, don't mess up your opportunity. But at the end of the day, it was a ton of fun. That's the one thing that I always try to take with it is just have fun. And if I'm doing that, then, you know, I think I'm doing my thing out there.
What's it like when you walk out on the NBA court for the first time?
It was just one of a kind. There's no real explanation. I mean, no real way that I can explain it. Yeah, I don't know. It's what you dream of, right? Like, it's something that I worked my whole life to get to, and something that I necessarily didn't think that I would ever have happen to me. And I was just super fortunate and happy to be there. And I think that's what I kind of try to take with me every day, was just be fortunate that I get to do the thing that I love to do the most in the world. And I got a chance to do that at the highest stage.
Then the next day, obviously, you signed a multi-year deal to remain with the Phoenix Suns. Can you talk us through those negotiations, I guess, over those few weeks?
Yeah, usually when you're coming off a 10-day to a rest of the season deal or multi-year deal, what they had back then, not many negotiations with it. It's kind of like my agent called me and said, hey, they want to keep you around. Yeah. It was the last day of my 10-day, and I had only gotten in for that short period of time in that Utah Jazz game. But I had infectious energy. I brought positivity to the group every single day. I was loud and vocal on and off the court with my teammates. And I think that's something that the Suns really appreciated. And they gave me an opportunity to stick around a little bit more and continue to show what I could do. And so, yeah, I was just extremely honored and just felt super blessed to be able to have that opportunity to continue with the team and continue to try to make my name.
You had your first double-double with 14 points and 12 boards alongside three blocks in a massive win over the LA Clippers. Can you talk us through that game and what that was like for you?
Man, it was great. I had things rolling. I felt like myself. You know, I was trying to find my way those first couple of games, and I got an opportunity to play extended minutes. And to be able to have those numbers and to get that win was something that really told me that, you know what, if I keep working at this and I keep pushing myself, I can make myself stay in this league, and I can create an avenue for myself to where I'll be truly considered an NBA player. And so that's what that was for me. And it was ecstatic. And then, like I said, it's something I try to do every time I go out on the court to get a double-double. And to do it in the NBA for the first time was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, obviously, with the Phoenix Suns Summer League team in 2016, you were obviously the only player to average a double-double throughout the whole tournament. Can you talk us through that period of time for yourself and improving and developing on your game to get to the next level and really establish yourself as an NBA player?
Yeah, I was just super locked in, man. Like, that whole summer, that whole grind was just really locked in. I had a trigger date on my contract, so they had to guarantee it by this certain date in order for me to be able to be on the team fully guaranteed for the following season. And so that's just kind of the mentality that I have, was like, I'm going to earn my contract, and went out there, played well in summer league. And then at the end of it all, the head coach, Earl Watson, came up to me and just told me that, hey, Suns are planning on guaranteeing your contract for the next season. You earned it. And it was just a big sigh of relief, because it was a lot of less stress on my mind and in that kind of way, because I knew that I'd be there for the whole year and get some more opportunities to show what I could do. So
can you talk us through, obviously there's a lot of off the court pressures and things like that too that goes along with the whole NBA experience. Can you talk us through managing them alongside putting your best foot forward within the league?
Yeah, I think the mental struggle of the NBA is real. You go from playing sometimes to not playing at all. And that's kind of what I dealt with that following season, was just inconsistent minutes. And that's a lot of things that go into that. And so I think off the court, you just try to keep it loose as possible. You spend time with your family. Luckily, I was at home in Phoenix, so I got a chance to do that. You find hobbies for yourself and try to keep your mind off of the actual struggle of it every day. But more than anything, you work your tail off. And so anytime you're not playing, you're doing extra work and you're working harder so that you can earn your spot and earn your minutes on an NBA floor. And that's just something that I continue to do and kept pushing.
Can you talk us through that meniscus repair and injury on your right knee that obviously ended that season with the Suns for you?
Yeah, it was tough. It was going right into – I just signed a multi-year deal. Yeah. And I was going into training camp, and it was the day before training camp. I landed on one of my teammates' foot. And I tore my knee. It was heartbreaking. I worked so hard that summer to get in good shape and be ready for this NBA season coming up, and just to have that kind of taken away was really crippling. And it It taught me a lot about myself. It taught me that I need to make sure I'm taking the rehab as serious as I needed to. I don't think I did that. And it kind of hurt me in the long run. They ended up cutting me the following year. And so it just kind of goes to the ups and downs of the NBA. And at any moment, it can be taken away from you. So I just, like I said, I take every day with just so much gratitude and joy because I get to do what I love to do. And like I said, at any moment in time, it can be taken away from you.
Can you talk us through that transition over to the Brooklyn Nets and that two-way contract in 2018?
Yeah, it was kind of the two-way contracts were really new, relatively new in the NBA. And so we were just kind of waiting around to see what I was going to do. I had some European interest, but I was pretty much sold that I was an NBA guy. I didn't want to go overseas and play somewhere else. And so I took advantage of an opportunity with the Brooklyn Nets and had a workout out there, and then they offered me the two-way, and I was like, cool, let's do it. It gets me close enough to the NBA where I'll hopefully get some time and experience with the Nets organization and then get a chance to play in the G League and dominate and show all the other NBA teams what I have to offer. And so that's the mentality that I had going into that season.
Can you talk us through and how that opportunity at the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix obviously arose for you?
Yeah, so after the G League, I did 3 years in Russia. Mm-hmm. And so that period of time playing in Europe and understanding the game at that level was massive for me, and just finding nuances and finding ways to play overseas and understand that it's a different world completely outside of America and outside the NBA. And so it helped me grow up a lot. And when this opportunity in Australia came about, it was a place in the world that I hadn't gotten a chance to experience yet and hadn't a chance to play yet. And so I jumped at it and knew it was going to be a great opportunity for me to continue my career. And so I said yes, and now here we are.
What knowledge did that experience over in Russia give you coming across to Australia and, I guess, developing and in different situations to different game styles?
Yeah, I think less the game styles because, I mean, basketball, as different as it may be from place to place, it's still hoop. You put the ball in the basket, you rebound it if they miss it, you play defense kind of thing, you know? And so I think more on the professional side is what I really had to figure out. And also the cultural side, right? Like the United States is, it's home for me. It's where I've been my whole life. And so having to learn different cultures and how to act in certain places and what respect means to different people in different places was a big thing for me, and it's something that I'm glad I got a chance to experience and learn. And so I was able to come to Australia with a really, really open mind because I had seen so much of the world and I had played in so many different places that I felt like that level of knowledge that I had was extremely valuable for the club and helping me to figure out what I wanted to do next.
Can you talk us through obviously playing with someone like Mitch Krieger? I mean, he's an All-NBL first team, pretty much guaranteed. This season, he's had phenomenal numbers. What's it like playing alongside him and guys like Gary Brown?
Yeah, it's super easy. You know, when you play with talent, it's easy to get out there and do what you need to do. And obviously, guys like Creaky and guys like Gary are the highest level professionals that we have in the sport. And so I played with him in Long Island. I knew that our games work well together. And I was just really looking forward to the opportunity to continue to do that. And I just think that it's been a really good partnership that we've been able to have on the court, and it's led to a lot of great things for both of our careers. And so just hoping that we get a chance to continue to do that and obviously win some more games while we're doing it.
Can you talk us through how you feel you guys have sort of set yourselves up for the back end of this season with a lot of opportunities for a lot of young guys on this squad?
Yeah, I don't think it was by necessarily choice. I think that obviously injuries come into effect. And so we just, you know, didn't have enough guys available to, I would say, put the team that we had thought we would be putting out there. But I think that the work that the coaching staff has done with the young guys all throughout the year and those guys that haven't played in a lot and had many opportunities, just continuing to keep them ready and work them out and let them know that their opportunity may come someday. And now here it is. And so it's really on the young guys now to take advantage of this opportunity and to try to go out there and put their best foot forward. All the guys that are hurt on the side will be supporting them. And just like I said, really excited to see what they can do.
There's been a lot of questions throughout the season about guys buying in at the defense at the defensive end of the floor. What have you made of that? And do you feel it's an attitude thing or more strategy and that kind of thing?
I think it's a mixture of both. You know, I think that it's always easier to be a good defensive team when there isn't a lot of confusion on how you're planning on defending. And so I think it's on the coaching staff to direct the players in the right way to get us in position so that we can be successful defensively. But then it's on the players to go out there and execute that plan and to play with a lot of effort and intensity and energy. And so we haven't done that this year. And obviously there's still some games left, so we can try to continue to improve that. But hopefully moving forward, we can get on the same page with that and really be a good defensive team like we know we can be.
Obviously, with a lot of injuries this season, someone like Tyler Cook was coming in for the first few games of NBL 24, and then Abdel Nader comes in with, obviously, the exit of Will Cummings. How have you felt, I guess, that sort of affected, or how's the team and chemistry adjusted to all these kinds of different changes and interruptions throughout the season?
Yeah, changes are hard. It's never easy. I don't think there's any necessarily right way to go about it or do it. It's part of the professional landscape and a professional basketball world, and so it's something that you have to adjust to, but I think we've handled it as best as we could. Obviously, it's beyond our control in most cases. And so all we can really do is just try to continue to move forward with whatever team the management side and the coaching staff puts out there for us. And so that's all we can do as players.
Who's the best trash talker on the team?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably Ben Ayer.
Yeah.
Ben Ayer gets after it. He's talking and chirping every single day in practice, and he's talking and chirping in every single game too. So it's definitely BA.
What does Ben give you?
In terms of the team, or like what kind of trash talk does he give?
In terms of trash talk.
Nah, nothing crazy. Like if I miss a shot, he'd be like, "Oh, you sorry for missing that," or something like that. But like, you know, yep. nothing too personal or anything like that. Just your general run of the mill. I beat you in this game kind of trash talk. And he, like I said, he never forgets and never misses a day with that trash talk stuff. And it definitely gets us going for sure.
Absolutely. What was it like earlier, I guess, in the preseason to just have someone like Johnny Furphy training with you guys at Southeast?
It was cool. You know, got a chance to see him work out and obviously practice with us, and just getting a chance to see the youth of Australia and to see the talent that this country has to offer is awesome. He's obviously having a great year at the University at Kansas and doing his thing out there. But it was really cool to see how talented he was, and obviously wishing him the best in the future.
Can you talk us through that poster he had?
I didn't even see it. That's the crazy thing. I think I was doing something on the sideline.
Yeah.
And I just remember going on Twitter and seeing that it had gotten out and that they posted it. And I was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. Like, he's super athletic, man. He's surprisingly athletic, and like I said, he knows how to play the game at a high level, and it was cool for him to be around us like that.
How do you feel used to looking heading into sort of the playing tournament, and do you feel you guys can sort of get back on a win streak coming into the throwdown this week?
Yeah, three games left in the season. It's do or die for us in every moment and every way, and so I'm just hoping we go out there and play with desperation and play with a lot of energy and heart. And you know, in this league, we've seen it all year. Anything can happen, and anyone can beat anyone. And so we're going in there with our head high and a lot of pride and a lot of fight and just trying to do our best to get the job done.
What's the mindset heading into this one against Melbourne United? Obviously, someone like Gorjok Gak's got to take on big JLA and Ariel Hook-Porty alongside DP Anzac Rossetto. How are you sort of, I guess, assisting those guys heading into that one? And what would your mindset be and has been throughout the season?
Yeah, it's just, you know, be yourself, right? We work out every day. You're brought in for a reason to do the things that you do the best. And my job on the sideline now is to try to just give them little things throughout the game, whether it's trying to keep a certain player off his dominant hand or reminding them to box out after a shot because this player likes to crash their offensive glass. And so kind of just, you know, being a coach on the side for the bigs and just trying to help them in any way that I can, and obviously being a big-time cheerleader for them when they get themselves going. And so, yeah, that's really what I'm focused on in these last couple of games. And I have so much faith in my teammates and my team to to go out there and, like I said, put their best foot forward and put on a performance that the Southeast can really be proud of.
What's the key to beating someone like Melbourne United and locking him down?
I think it's really detail-oriented, right? They're the top team on the ladder for a reason. They do the little things better than anyone else in the league, and so it's just trying to be better than them at those little things, whether it's 50-50 basketballs, whether it's keeping them off the old glass. Just like I said, those little boring things that aren't the sexy stats or anything like that. It's just doing those at a really, really high level or how you go out and beat a team like Melbourne.
So what would be your best advice to anyone who wants to be a professional basketballer and have an incredible career like yourself and make the NBA?
Work hard. Have fun. You have to love it. And there's a lot of days where it's very difficult to do, and a lot of days where it's very difficult to cope with a lot of the things going on, but you just got to keep going. And I tell them to have fun with it. It should be something that you enjoy doing because it makes it so much easier to work hard doing it. And so have fun and work your tail off, and hopefully you can reach those goals.
Source, thanks so much for coming on. It's been an absolute honor to have you on, and best of luck for you guys for the rest of the season.
Thanks so much, Max. Wishing you the best, bro. Peace.
Thanks, Source. Stay tuned, everyone, for some more Sporting Max. We'll see you soon.
This is Sporting Max with Max Becker on SEN.